This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danielle Robay from Bookmarked by Reese's Book Club. A new car is kind of like a new book. It takes you places you never thought you could go. What will you drive into the next chapter of your life? It's fun to dream about your next car, but when you're done dreaming, you need to head to Cars.com. Cars.com has the tools and expert advice to help you find your dream car. Their advanced search filters allow you to explore 2 million new and used cars so that you can find the perfect car. Start your search with Cars.com. Where to next?
Today on The Grave Talks, The Dead House, a conversation with Andy Hopkins. From a very young age, Andy Hopkins learned that he was a beacon to spirits, not all of which were kind. Some were intent on frightening them and forcing them out of their home. In this house, he spent nights cowering in the shadows as they stalked the hallways. Nights spent wondering whether an unseen footstep or force would come his way to scare him, or worse. Today, we step inside the true story of what it was like to grow up with the gift of seeing spirits, and see why this gift was also a curse, as the harrowing spirits twisted and infused their way into his life, changing it forever.
Well, crikey. My story kind of began when my mum and my dad separated, and my mum moved out with me, my brother, and my sister. And we moved into, it was just a standard terraced house in the middle of a road, nothing traditionally or typically haunted about the house on Park Road. It had a weird sort of vibe to it when you stepped through, but I was young, so everything kind of looked cavernous. It looked massive. Everything sort of was big, as it is, you know, when you're little.
Sure.
And I remember not long after we moved in, I woke up and I shared a room with my brother. He's quite a bit older than me, but we shared a room at the back of the house. And I had my desk in a particular corner. And I woke up and it was summer, you know, so it was actually a really nice summer. And I just remember waking up freezing cold. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, do you know one of those colds that you think this shouldn't be happening? One of those feelings that you think this should not be happening.
Sure.
And immediately my eyes just floated over towards my desk, and there was just this lady standing there, and it was, the room was dark. You could see everything in shadow, but then she was there. She was standing, and she was kind of glowing. Everything about her, she just looked well-to-do. She looked very posh in her own way. How I'd say it to people is she looked like she was going to church, you know. her hair was pristine and perfect. Her outfit was just, it looked pressed. Her smile, you know, the only way I can describe her smile is if you go see your grandma on a Sunday afternoon and she's there with a cup of tea and she hasn't seen you in a month, you know, it's that kind of embrace, and just her eyes seem to be welcoming. And She didn't say anything. She just smiled at me, and that put me at ease. Before I knew it, the room wasn't cold anymore, and I felt warm, and the restless agitation that I was feeling that night sort of melted away. And she just smiled, and it must have been for maybe a minute or so. It seemed longer, but then I just felt myself relaxing again. Before you know it, I was asleep and she was gone. And I didn't really know what a ghost was. You know, I'd grown up with things like Casper,
Sure.
That was my envisionment of a ghost, you know, this floating, smiling ghost from Casper. Mm-hmm. But as I thought it was a bit strange, and I told my mum, I asked her who the lady was, and she was like, "Well, what lady?" And I explained to her, and I went into great detail, and I said that she was smiling at me. She helped me go back to sleep, and then she went. And she went, "Well, there wasn't a lady. You were probably dreaming." But I knew that I wasn't dreaming. I knew that this happened. Mm-hmm. And so my mum sort of passed off. But then she a couple of days later, a little while later, she showed me this newspaper clipping. And it had this picture of this lady in the newspaper clip. And I went, "Hey, what was she doing in my room?" And she went, "Well, she couldn't have been in your room because she died here." And that was my first kind of mind-blowing kind of moment where I was like, "Oh, okay."
So how did your mom come across the newspaper clipping? Did she start doing a little digging without telling you after you shared that? Was she starting to get curious, like, maybe he is seeing something, but I'm not going to acknowledge that yet?
Well, apparently somebody had told her that this had happened. I don't think it was the owner before we moved in. I think it was the one before that, and somebody had told her, and she'd got this newspaper clipping off them. And I think it was the way that I was certain, mm-hmm, about how this happened. I mean, we all have weird dreams sometimes. I'm a dad myself, and my kids have some weird dreams. But I knew even though she was saying, "Oh no, you were probably asleep. Don't worry about it." But I know, no, this happened. She was there, and it was that certainty, I think, that pushed her to believe me a little bit more. I don't think she wanted to kind of go into it too much, just because spirits and ghosts and goblins and ghoulies, they all kind of scare little kids, and I don't think that she wanted sleepless nights, to be quite honest.
So what was the story on the woman who died in the house?
It was simply old age. She, mm-hmm, she literally passed away in her sleep, is what I was told. And she was a jolly lady. She was lovely, apparently, in life. I remember the pictures in the paper. It showed her with just in this big family birthday picture, and it was mm-hmm, kind of, it made me think to myself, well, how did I see that? How could I see that? She was nothing harmful at all. She just was there. And I think that she sensed something in me, or felt something in my apprehension that I was feeling in that moment, mm-hmm, that night, that she wanted to cool and calm.
Almost being a maternal type figure to you.
Yeah, exactly. She did make me feel like it was a grandmotherly energy. You know, she just felt warm and homely. And thinking back to that night, I do believe that if she hadn't have sort of come through and made herself known to me, I do think that some of the more malicious energies that were in the house would have come through, because it was a similar feeling that I always felt before something nasty would happen in that house. But then she just appeared.
So you have this first experience, and it's warm, it's friendly, it's still all new. But how old are you at this point?
I would have been about 4 or 5.
Okay.
I was very young.
Sure. I mean, so almost anything at that point in life, whether paranormal or not, we're all experiencing so many things. And if a paranormal experience happens to us at that moment, it kind of goes into our lexicon as, well, this just must be part of life, you know, whether it is or not, because you have that experience, and others may not have had an experience like that. And in this first one you had, you realize that this is something that's not necessarily common, but it is something that happened to you, but it was warm and it was friendly. This obviously kind of puts a perspective in your mind of how maybe ghosts are, or all spirits are, if that's in fact, you know, what it was, you know, when you're trying to figure all of that out. How did things continue to progress in the house after that night of seeing the lady in your room?
It's funny how you kind of say about, you know, that it was just me accepting it in a way. And I personally think that everybody is born with a certain ability to see spirit, whether it be actually physically seeing something or feeling something. You know, how many of us sort of go into a room and just don't like it immediately. You know, I think everybody has a degree of energy awareness, but I think how I reacted to that quite openly when I was on that first experience, it kind of gave the other energies in the house a target, so to speak. You know, so although this was a kind of a blessed meeting of this lady, it also had the downside of I do think that the other spirits in the house were sort of right. Okay, he's the one that we're going to go for, and I think that happening, from me meeting the old lady there, things just sort of escalated. And it starts with the smaller things, like it starts with you seeing shadows or getting random cold spots. I remember in our house, to me it was quite a big house, but it was being a terrace house, there was houses either side, so you know, it wasn't a particularly cold house. Mm-hmm. But when I remember walking sort of upstairs to go to my bedroom, and there was like a cold spot that moved, okay, and it just felt like walking through between like a one train cart and another train cart, you know, when it just hits you and you walk back and it's not there. And so the cold spots were something that affected me more than everybody else. And as we all could kind of settle down in the house, there was things that everybody were hearing. We're sitting downstairs watching the TV, and we just hear thump, 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 walking along the landing. And you could tell that, I remember thinking, it can't just be me that's heard that. And I could see when these bangs and these knocks would happen, that people would look immediately to the source of the sound, which was upstairs in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And my mum looked scared when I'd seen this, because there was only us in the house, and she knew that it was only us in the house, yet she would have looked at us, and particularly my sister probably was and is still the most scared of things spiritually. But she would always make an excuse. She would say, oh, it's just the house setting, it was the pipe, the heating's clicked on again, you know. And although my brother and my sister particularly kind of accepted that, I thought, well, no, because I've heard the radiators glugging and it sounds a lot different to that, you know. And I think because I was acknowledging it as I do today, acknowledge spirit. If you acknowledge spirit or acknowledge the paranormal, it tends to accept that and make himself known more to us. So as I was accepting the fact that this wasn't just the house creaking, it was more, I started to experience a lot more. And I can remember one incident which was terrifying. I was always sent to bed early because I was the youngest, and you know, I hated going to bed on my own. And my mum would sort of tuck me up in bed, and she'd leave the landing light on, and she'd leave the door open slightly. And one I just saw, the doors in Park Road were thick. They were proper wooden doors, not like we get in today's new buildings.
Sure, sure.
They were thick wooden doors, and the carpets were pretty thick as well, to be quite honest, in the bedroom areas. And I just heard that, like, the shoving of the door. I heard the door move, and you really had to push them over the carpet. You could hear it running along the carpet. And I just sort of looked up, and I looked around my wardrobe, which was pretty close, right next to my bed. And I just saw this shadow just glide in to the room. Mm-hmm. And because we were at the back of the house as well, it couldn't have been any cars or anything. Park Road was a quiet road at the time as well. And it sort of glided against the wall. And I was just stood, laying there, just stuck watching this go around the room. Mm-hmm. And kind of approach the chimney breast. And we had a cupboard, like a chest of drawers in front of the chimney breast. And instead of this shadow kind of reach going over the chest of drawers as well, it just went behind it. So this was a solid thing that just went behind this chest of drawers. And this is when things start to shake and things start to wobble and move. And watching this happen, I can't even express the thoughts and the fear that that this thing gave me, you know. And the more and more I was afraid, the more and more this thing kind of gained strength. And then it reached the end of my bed, and then my bed would start to shake. And there was a cupboard at the end, like a built-in cupboard at the end of my, like the foot of my bed that went into above where the stairs were. And I'd never liked that cupboard. I just had a genuine fear of being trapped in this cupboard or something coming out of this cupboard. The cupboard door swung open when this thing got near it, and it has a clasp on it, so it couldn't even be a case of the it just swinging open for the sake of it. And when the shadow vanished that night, it just very, very slowly, the cupboard door just very, very slowly closed, and the clasp just clicked. And I'm trying to explain this to my mum when I'm screaming. And she said, "Oh, you had a bad dream." And I was like, well, I came to bed 10 minutes ago. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's hard to explain the fear of a young guy that I was, and not knowing and not having anybody to kind of believe me. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what is going through your mind at that point? Because your other reference point to paranormal activity, where it was, you know, up close and personal, was kind of this warm, friendly thing. And now suddenly you're having another paranormal experience, but it's a completely different emotion that you're taking on and you're feeling from it than your previous experience. Almost completely different, almost like it's some, you know, something else. Are you feeling like this is not that old lady? Or what are you registering in your mind as you're trying to make sense of what's going on?
Well, I didn't think at all that it was the old lady. You know, that it was an absolute contrast. And that what I explained to my mum, I didn't say there was a ghost there. I said there's a monster in the house. Mm-hmm. And I was sobbing when I was telling her that there's a monster in the house, and there's no such thing as monsters, and you know, there was no other word for it, because if I look at the references I'd have had back then, it's like Scooby-Doo and they chase the monsters, but this was a real one.
Yeah,
they exist. And you know, I was kind of shushed and kind of relaxed a little bit more by my mum. But I kind of, looking back, I really feel sorry for her, because she wasn't in a great place emotionally. You know, she'd split up with my dad, and she was in this big new house. She was working so many jobs to try and keep us all eating, you know. And me and my older brother didn't really get on much, so there was those arguments, and now she had this to contend with. So I do think that it's, I just felt really sorry for her. And I didn't want this monster in the house, but I couldn't explain it any other way. And I couldn't keep it to myself, because this was something that I felt was trying to hurt me.
And when you look back on this, do you in any way personally feel like there is anything you were doing to invite these things to you, or were they just kind of finding you because you were there, right place, right time, essentially?
I think that things that we don't know about, like sort of things in the paranormal, ghosts, spirits, more demonic forces, things like this, they're attracted to different kinds of energy. And in my line as a paranormal investigator and as a medium, I've been to some truly kind of horrific places in the country. And if you give off a particular energy, or if you communicate to a spirit and you're scared, or you're goading them, or you kind of try and match their energy, they will react in that kind of way. And in the house, things were a bit unbalanced. And like I said, my mum wasn't feeling the best emotionally, and there was that kind of draining feeling around my mother. Mm-hmm. And me and my brother bickering all the time, and that was giving off a negative energy. And I think that when we do things like that, our energy casts kind of a light, and it's kind of like a moth to flame with certain spirits. And I do think that the negative that was happening and kind of the emotional imbalance that was around the house was drawing in this negativity, waking up this negativity. And because I was the most aware, because I was accepting of, wow, these things really exist, you know, my energy was almost fresh meat for them.
It's kind of just the recipe of what was going on with the emotional turmoil that everyone was in at that moment. It's like, yeah, a magnet. It drew it in, like you said, like a light, you know, and then the moths come to it in the dark. Yeah. With all of that being said, and having those experiences, what was your mother thinking of things at this moment in time? I know you were starting to realize your sensitivity to these, mm-hmm, things, and you're telling her these things. Is she having any experiences of her own, whether you knew about it at the time or not?
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, now I actually take my mom on ghost hunts with me.
Oh, that's cool.
she's quite a regular on paranormal investigations with us when she's not working. And I remember a little. She didn't exactly say when I was talking to her about ghosts. You know, she didn't really involve me in any conversations about what she was feeling back then. I know now that she was aware that Park Road was haunted. I know she'd had some quite traumatic kind of experiences herself. I mean, I remember she told me more recently when I'd just released the book, and she was telling me that she'd sat downstairs watching a film, and she thought that the dog had jumped up onto the sofa. She looked round and there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. And that's when she decided to sort of go to bed. You know? She tried to, I think she did her best to protect me. And I think she did her best in the situation that we had to kind of try and keep things normal. If I woke up screaming, which I did quite often, there wasn't really a time I can remember where I didn't see something or I didn't feel something. Sometimes I try to put a barrier up and ignore that, but it's not that easy. When things come through stronger, it's not easy. It's not just easy enough to like clicking off a light, you know. And I think although she sometimes says, don't be silly, and you know, it was this and it was that, I think that she did know something was happening. But in the way she said it, her dad, my granddad, always said that, oh, if don't bother the dead won't hurt you. That's what he always used to say to us, the living that hurt you, don't worry about the dead. Mm-hmm. But I think she was trying to kind of go into that mindset where if she ignores it, it'll go away.
Sure. And when you're in that state and you're a newly single parent and you have everything you're trying to contend with and figure out life and going forward, that's like the last thing you want to have start happening.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm a parent of three, and I mean, my kids kind of share my abilities, and mm-hmm. But it's always a little bit creepy. My eldest, she's seven, she's eight in June. And I remember when I first moved into this flat that I'm in now, and she came into me in the middle of the night. She went, Daddy, there's a boy that keeps poking me. I went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I went into the room. It was freezing cold. And I sort of said to her, you know, I said, well, I know he's not going to hurt you, darling. You know, I took a slightly different approach. I don't want my kids to be closed off to this kind of thing, because I think it's a gift in the end, mm-hmm. you know, even if it can be scary. And I sort of said, well, you know, just if he bugs you, you just tell him to go away, you know, and he's not bothered her again since, you know.
Would you have reacted different? Would you have been more at peace with this had you had, not that your mom did anything wrong, obviously she was trying to parent in the best way that she could, you know, at that moment in time, but had she taken the approach that you're taking now of, you know, let's acknowledge that these exist and you're feeling this way, but let's, you know, let's talk about it a little bit. Let's, you know, it's okay. This is that, you know, but it's certainly there. It's not just a don't be silly thing as, yeah. you know, what was, you know, peddled to us quite a bit from that generation of parenting. Mm-hmm. Had you gotten that sort of approach, how would you have looked at the paranormal differently? Or how would that have affected your childhood outlook on what was going on?
Well, I think I'd have understood more. And I think that's one thing that kind of kept me feeling like I was the black sheep. You know, I think the fact that I couldn't understand what was happening was making things worse, because I'm quite a sensitive guy, and I've always been since I was younger, like emotionally sensitive. And I think that if I can't understand something, that frustrates me more. And when I'm being told, oh, don't be silly, or this, just that, it's making me frustrated. It's making me angry. So I think if I had somebody back then saying, okay, well, they do exist, and yes, this is terrifying, but let's deal with it this way. Because at the end of the day, I think that if you stand up to these energies, and if you take charge of a situation, you can diffuse that situation. We as people, as the living, I think we have domination over this, over our plane. Mm-hmm. So if something on a spiritual plane comes down to try and anger us, or try and scare us, we have that power in our intent to get rid of that spirit, or to at least keep it at bay. So I think that things wouldn't have been as horrific through the years if I had somebody more how I'd be with my kids. But I couldn't for anything fault my mum on the situations that, you know, how she handled it, really, because of the state that we were in back then.
Sure.
So, you know, I agree, she did nothing wrong at all. But yeah, it would have been less traumatic, and mm-hmm. I probably would have had a more normal job.
Sure. Well, and it's just interesting, because you're trying to then parent the way that maybe you wish it would have done, or you would have had for you to mm-hmm. to help you have navigated it a little more smoothly. Let me ask you this, and this is kind of an opinion question. And when you're in a place like that, and I want to talk about the history of the house as well, but before we even get to that area, how often do you think it is that when someone is in a state like this, things are in turmoil in a household, and I completely agree that it does attract things in. But how often is it that maybe, you know, when we think of ghosts, we always think of an entity separate from ourselves. We think of it either being something residual. We think of it being something conscious, something that's attracted here, something that's lived here. How often do you think it is us that is manipulating the environment, with our emotions, with our energy, and we're unconsciously doing it? We don't even realize we're having the power to do it, but because we're in such, especially when we're in turmoil, and when we're in very difficult states, that our energy simply manipulates things around us, whether it be electricity, lights, things of that nature. And it's not necessarily a ghost or an entity or something. It's just literally us. And until we get ourselves basically into a better place and in a more positive place, that stuff is going to keep festering, but it can get more and more confusing because we don't know what it is right away.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that our emotions and our situations can make things feel negative. They can affect the atmosphere around us, you know. It's like if you go and see a friend and they're a particularly grumpy or depressive friend, you know, before you know it, you zap their energy and you're feeling the same way. So I completely agree. I do think that sometimes things can be like that, but as I'm nosy. I like to know if it's me or if it's something more on a spiritual level or haunted level. And I don't particularly think that our energy can manifest things like shadows creeping mm-hmm. around. I don't think our energy, solely our energy, can manipulate a door to close or a candle to blow or anything like that. I think our energy can impose feelings on a room or impress feelings on other people. So I do feel that's maybe some of the cold spots, so to speak, or some of the feelings that we had as a family could have been that kind of thing. But I do feel that you can tell when it's something else, because through my experiences, not only at Park Road, but on paranormal events and investigations, I always like to be nosy, like I said, and I like to know if something's truly affecting it. And I'll push for more and more evidence. And that's how I'd kind of get my proof, or if I'm given a reading to somebody to tell that I'm not just reading from somebody's energy, I'll get pictures, or I'll get certain messages, songs or memories, and I'll give that to the person, and if it makes sense to them, that to me is good enough proof than anything that I'm not just reading that person's energy. So I do think that some of the time it can be us imposing energy on other things and on other people, but I feel that you kind of see the difference, you know the difference. So in the case of Park Road, it was, I'd probably say, a good 90% of the time it was more paranormal than anything else.
I'd agree. There's a totally different feeling there when it is something else versus like, well, that's weird that light keeps doing that, but you realize like you're completely stressed out because of a conversation you just had or something. Yeah. And it's like, well, this is weird that's happening at the same time because this light never does that. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I just recently went through a divorce, and I never have weird things happen around me. I just usually don't, but I'm usually pretty at peace. But the thing is, obviously, that can be a very tumultuous time period. And I had this damn light in my bedroom that it would turn on by itself. The fan would go on by itself. Now, yes, it could have been faulty wiring. I will say that, but I don't know, because it was only doing it at very specific times. And I took the thing out and I put a new one up and I just sold it. So I'm like, you have the haunted light. But I don't think it was the haunt, because I look at the wiring on it too. I'm like, no, this is all wired up the way it should be. And my new light, and I'm in a better place now, and things are in a very different place mentally. I'm not having any of that. But it was a weird thing where I just kind of started noticing those things. But it is different, because I felt things other places, or I've had other experiences where I knew it wasn't my emotions that were projecting out there. But it is confusing, because sometimes you have to take a moment to identify what exactly is going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that if you suspect something's haunted or somewhere is haunted, and I, as part of my career, my job, my gig, I go to a lot of different people's houses. Well, when COVID isn't around, of course, but I go to a lot of different people's houses to see what's bothering them. You know, I get people messaging me, emailing me, saying my house is haunted, help me. And before I even waste my petrol, I'll ask them what's going on with them. You know, I look for certain signs, certain symptoms of the house being haunted. I'll always ask how are things between, you know, are you living with a partner? How are things there? You know, I'll always like to get the nitty gritty, because I want to avoid wasting their time, wasting my time, wasting money. Do you know what I mean?
Especially, when there can be a logical explanation or something that explains it away.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd rather not. It's like, obviously doing things like it costs money, you know, to get there and back. And I don't want to get. I've never been one to want to dupe people into just wasting time. And so this is why I always ask specific questions. I'll always say, okay, tell me what's happening. Is there any specific times this is happening? Is there anything physical happening, such as, you know, things breaking, things being thrown, scratches, you know, weird smells, weird sounds, you know. And even though I work with spirit and I'm a full believer, there's nothing anybody could ever say to me that says, nah, it's a load of rubbish. I'm always after something to prove it when I'm working with other people.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Andy Hopkins. In part two, just how dark did the energy get inside of his house, and how scary did things become? Did Andy make the dark entity subside in the Park Road house through any of his actions, or did it just continue on until they had to leave? Where did the spirits come from for the house? Were they always in the house waiting in the wings? And what was the history of the house beyond the friendly grandmother who once died there? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.